We're holding three lines from the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Beis. We learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah talked about the case where a Kohen was Makadish, a woman who's also to him, where we said that we had Machloikas, Rameyah versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, whether at that point she's possible from eating Truma. Then the Mishnah continued Nis'am Elo and Nis'garish V'chola, that if they were widowed or divorced, and it was after Erosin, but not Nisuin, then they're still kosher to eat Truma. Either if we say it's a Bas Koyen, she can go back to Truma the Bay Nasha. If it's a Bas Yisrael, then it means in the future if she marries another Koyen, she'll be able to eat Truma, as opposed to if it was Minan Nisuin, then no, because at that point she became a Halala.
Nisuin
means no. That's Kedushin means Kesef or Shtar.
Kedushin
means Kesef or Shtar. Well, Kedushin theoretically can mean Via also, but usually it doesn't, right? First of all, we said before that Rav would give a person Malkus for such a thing.
Right.
But yeah, it's true. I guess if a Kohen was Makadish for Via, then yeah, it would make her a Halala as well. Yeah. Although actually maybe not. The truth is the Rambam discusses the issue. Are we talking about if the Kohen, the Rambam and the Ravid argue about the question, are we talking about only if the Kohen married her and then had relations with her, or are we talking about even if he had relations with her outside of marriage, which that it makes her a halala? But on the basis, because after all, the Lashon HaPasuk is Isha Zonah V'Halala Lo Yikachu, that they're not allowed to take them as a wife. Which actually is kind of what we're going to be getting into the next piece of Gemara over here. What part of the marriage process is indicated by the word yikach in the Torah? So, Valminei Rav Chiya mir Yosef Mishmuel. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef asks Shmuel the following question. Now, as background to this question, we have to know the next Mishnah is going to explain that according to the Tanakhama, and this is the halacha, a kohen gadol. Well, we know the Torah says a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Bsula. Besides that, he's also to a Grusha, Halala, and Zona, which all Kohenim are. He's also to an Almana. On top of that, there was a mitzvah asay that he has to marry a Bsula, but who he should be Bsula or Yikach. So if he marries a non-Bsula, but even though she's not an Almana or any of the other things, then he's over on that mitzvah asay. And the Mishnah is going to mention, which we'll get to soon, that according to the Tanakhama, and this is the Halacha, the Bsula that he marries has to be a Naira. Has to be a girl 6 months after puberty, after her bat mitzvah. Any more than that, she's called a begeres in halacha, and the kohen gadol we're saying is not supposed to marry her. Why we'll talk about in a bit. So, kohen gadol shekiddush katana. Suppose that a kohen gadol was mekadesh a katana below 12 years old or below the age of puberty. Well, bagra taftav, and then during the time of the Erosin, remember Erosin in those days usually took a year, during that time she goes through the stage of becoming a Naira and all the way to becoming a Begeris. It's always 6 months from Naira to Begeris. It's always a given, it's a fixed thing. When she becomes a Naira, when she develops Shteisiris, from then the clock starts ticking. 6 months after that she becomes a Begeris. And we're saying that she'd be also to marry a Kohen Gadol. In this case, it was Mekadesh her when she was a Ketana, and then she became a Begeris. It's always 6 months from Naira to Begeris. How long it is until she becomes a Naira, that can vary. The truth is, Rashi explains that the Rashi, according to Rashi, it seems that the same question might come down. It wouldn't really matter whether she was a Ketana or a Naira when he did Erosin with her. Either way, the point is that he's not supposed to marry her as a Begeris. So, Mahu, what is the din? Now, Rashi explains the point of the question is he allowed to marry her at that point? Is he allowed to go ahead with the Nisuin?
At that point that she's a Begeris.
Boston Nisuin as linen. Do we say that we go according to the Nisuin, and then she would be possible because she's already a Begeris? Or Boston Erosin as linen, or maybe we go according to the Erosin. When he did Erosin, she was originally Mutter, so therefore it should be fine now.
In other words, the time.
Do we go according to the fact that Kedushin originally were done beheter, or do we go according to the fact that by the time of the Nisuin itself, she's going to be also? Amalei, Shmuel tells him to Nisua. Well, we learn in a Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Nisuin and Niskarshumin and Nisuin, Psulus, Minaeris, and Cherdis. We see in the case of the possible women, the Grushas or whatever, that we go according to Nisuin. We say that, for example, that the Almana who was Nisaris to the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol died before they ever did the Nisuin, we say that she's kosher, Mina Eris and Cheris. She's still kosher to, in the future, marry some other Kohen. So we see, you go according to the Nisurin, not according to the Erusin. So by the same logic over here then, you would say, well, the Nisurin is going to be when she's a Begeris, so no good. Amalei, however, Rav Chiya bar Yosef tells him, no, you're not understanding my question. There's no question. When it comes to what makes her a halal, obviously you need bia for that. So obviously there's no question. Our Mishnah is saying that until the nisuid is done, until the bia is done, she's not a halala, therefore she'd still be mutter to her. No, forget about her geres. We're talking about, in other words, that we said if the Kohen Gadol was Makadish and Amana, if the Kohen Gadol was Makadish and Amana, then he dies. But they did not yet have relations. They didn't yet do nisuin, therefore they didn't yet have relations. She didn't become a halala. That's why she's still mutter in the future to marry a Kohen Hedya. So fine. Then okay. But he says, but that's as far as the question of whether she becomes a halala or not.
What makes her a halala?
Obviously the bia. She come a boyali. Rather, the question I have is as follows: when the pasuk says v'hu isha b'vsuleha yigach, the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to marry a woman b'vsuleha, in her b'sulim, in her virginity. My, the question is, when we say yikach, what part of the marriage process are we referring to? Kicha de kiddushin ve'inan. Do we need that the kicha of kiddushin has to be done when she's bibsuleha, which we're going to explain in the Gemara and after the next Mishnah, that bibsuleha specifically refers to a naira, because once she's a begeris, already a certain element of her bsulim is lost. And bibsul.
That's nothing to do with physical changes.
No, it sort of does have to do with it. We'll get to it soon. We'll get to it. So then, and in that case, Kicha of Kedushin was fine, because she was a Kana or a Naira at the time. Or do we need that when we say, V'hu Isha B'Psela Yikach, means that the Kicha of the Kicha, which takes place at Nisuin, has to be when she's B'Psela, when she's in her full B'Solim, meaning no older than a Naira.
So that implies that Kicha
In other words, the two different kinds of kicha, yeah.
The big chiddush, because you would think the kicha is after nisuin only.
No, not necessarily. I mean, actually, no. For example, when kibikach ish isha could just as well mean kiddushin. Yeah. The Gemara discusses in kiddushin about the possibilities
of it.
The
kinyan is not complete.
No, it's not. The kinyan is not complete, obviously, but in a way it is. I mean, Minatar, we said she's kinyan kasvay, right? That's what we're trying to figure out over here. Yikach is ambiguous. It could mean kedushin or it could mean nisuin. So which one? Amalei and Shmuel tells Mahonami to nisua. Well, we have a Mishnah that expresses that also later on in a couple of blot. The Mishnah says this next Mishnah and the Mishnah after it talk about the dinim of who a Kohen Gadol is allowed and not allowed to marry, and it says iras hashalmana, if a Kohen Gadol did kedushin with an almana, which he's mutter to as a Kohen Hedya, then Ismanali is Kohen Gadol, and he was appointed Kohen Gadol, Yichnos, then he's allowed. After, yeah, he was Makadishur as an Amana, now he became Kohen Gadol, and yet Yichnos, and we say he's allowed to marry her, he's allowed to do Nisuin. Evidently, we're only worried about the Kiddushin. As long as the Kiddushin, we're done Behetta, then we're fine. So then, by the same logic over here, she was a Naira at the time of the Kiddushin, now she's a Begeris, big deal. However, the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Shiny Hasim. You could say it's different over there. Yikach Isha. Because the Pasuk says, the expression of the Pasuk is that he's not allowed to marry Amon or Grusha, etc. Ki im Besula me'am of Yikach Isha. Only a Besula from his people is he allowed to marry as a wife. Now, the word Isha is unnecessary in the Pasuk. Yikach would express it quite well. So the maybe you could say that because it says Yikach Isha, that word Isha maybe adds the idea that there's a case. What's the point? The Lashon HaPasuk is Amonu Grusha v'Halal Zaneh as Eilu Lo Yikach. So he's not allowed to marry an Amonu, Grusha, etc. Ki im Besula me'am of Yikach Isha. Only a Besula from his people should he marry as a wife. The Gemara is going to explain later on when we get to this Mishnah about the Amonu on Samach Aleph. The Gemara is going to explain that we learn from that word Isha that there is a case where a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry an Amonu. Namely, this case that we're talking about. He was engaged, they'd done Kedushin before he became a Kohen Gadol. Now he became a Kohen Gadol, and he's still allowed to go ahead with the marriage.
Because at the time when he meant Kedushin, she was...
Because she was permitted to him, because it was Kohen Hedya. So you could argue, yes, in Almana there's an exception, because of Yikach Isha, but maybe not for a Begeris. The question is, how Namik Isha? So what? The same pasuk also mentions Ki'im B'Sula Me'amav. Why are you Davka referring it to the Almana and not to the B'Sula? The answer is, that the word Isha in that sense comes to tell us it comes to tell us achas v'loishtayim. It means you can only be marbe one kind of woman who he's allowed to marry, even though she doesn't fit the usual eligibility requirements for a kohen, but not two. So if we have, meaning if we have a choice, we have two possibilities: a woman who was kosher to him before because of his kohen hediyot, but now that he became a kohen gadol, she's possible to him, namely an almana and a naira or naira turin begeres. We're saying the word isha, that's two different cases. We're saying the fact that we only have one word isha teaches us that you can only be married by one of them. Instead of nashim. However, then the question is umara isa. What makes you say that? Why should we be married that he's allowed to marry the almana but not the begeres? Maybe the other way around. Maybe ki in the sulam amavikas isha. Maybe the word isha teaches us that even though he got engaged to her as a naira, and she became a begeris now, fine, isha, there's a case where he's allowed to marry a begeris, even though if he was already Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't have been able to. And don't be married by the almana. The answer
would just say begeris.
No. The pasuk doesn't use the word begeris. The pasuk just says besulam amav.
Right.
But no, the answer is, the logic is ha'ishtani gufa, because in the case of the naira turin begeris, there's been a change in her body between the erusin and the nisuin. First she was a naira, now 6 months have passed and she's become a begeris. She's physically matured more. V'hala ishtani gufa, whereas the almana, nothing in her has changed. So there's more logic to say that if the pasuk is being marba, that the Kohen Gadol should be able to continue with the marriage of somebody who he was already engaged to before he became a Kohen Gadol, it's more likely to be somebody who herself has not changed, namely the almana, rather than the begeris. Now, all of this was the way that Rashi explained the Gemara. Tosfos has a couple of different problems with this whole explanation of what went on over here, because among other things, what's going on over here? I mean, first Shmuel answers Rav Chiya that evidently the important thing is the Nisuin based on our Mishnah. Then he turns around and says, no, the important thing is the Erusin based on that Mishnah later. He's sort of contradicting himself. There's another couple of other issues with this. I mean, Rav Chiya is telling Shmuel, you misunderstood my question. I'm not asking about making her a halala. Shouldn't Shmuel realize that he's asking about who you're allowed to marry and who not? So Tosfos explains differently. The question was not, is the Kohen Gadol allowed to marry this woman? The question rather is, he is niskadish to her. Now at this point she becomes a begeris, which at this point we're saying the Kohen Gadol is also to, is, well, let's assume the Kohen Gadol is also to marry her at this point. Well, that's the assumption. No, because we could say like the Almana, but wait. We could say just like the Almana, where he's niskadish to her and he's allowed to go ahead with it, maybe also with the begeris. The question is, if we assume that he's also to marry her, do we say that she's mishtameres l'biyah psula, like the case in our Mishnah, like a grusha for a kohen hediyot or whatever, and then she'd be also to eat truma? Or maybe we would say the difference is, in that case, the kedushin would be isur, because she was a grusha, he was never allowed to be mekadosh her. Here he was allowed to be mekadosh her as a naira. Not his fault the thing's ragged on. Yeah. Not the question is whether he's allowed to marry her, but the question is whether this is considered mishtameres l'biyah psula or not. Is it considered mishtameres l'biyah shera? So first Shmuel starts by answering him that it sounds like you're under the impression that he's not allowed to marry her b'chlal. No, we see from our Mishnah that she'd only be also minani suri, not minani erusin. And then Rav Chiya clarifies, no, what I'm actually, I'm thinking that there might be a difference. I'm thinking that there might be a difference between whether is the Torah saying that he's allowed to be Mekadosh her, or is the Torah saying that when he's marrying her, she has to be a begeris. And then he answers him based on the Almana, and the rest of the sugya goes from there. As we said, that ultimately we make a distinction between a naira turned begeris who changed versus an Almana who did not.
So according to Tosfos, there wouldn't be a contradiction.
No, so right. So in other words, according to Tosfos, it's not that Shmuel contradicted himself. First Shmuel was trying to prove to him that you should be allowed to marry her, and then he tried to prove to him again from the Almana that you should be allowed to marry her. But the Gemara ended up shooting that down because of the difference between an Almana and a Naira, and therefore he's takanah. We wouldn't necessarily call that Mishtameres to be a Psula, because after all, the difference is, unlike our Mishnah, at least when he was Mekadosh her, it was Behetar. One more thing over here is when we say over here isha, when we say over here achas v'lo shtayim. So Rashi explained what it means is since you only have one word isha in the Torah, not one in this context that is, then it teaches us out of the two possible cases of a woman who now is posel and formerly was kosher, namely the almana or the naira turned begedus, you're going to be marva only one of them. They'll be kohen gadol allowed to marry. The Rambam has a different explanation of that line achas v'lo shtayim. The Rambam says the word achas v'lo shtayim means that we learn from the word isha something else, nothing to do with who he's allowed and not allowed to marry. But rather, we learn from that it, as a side thing, a kohen gadol is only allowed to have one wife.
Oh, so
achas v'lo shtayim.
Right. According to Rambam, he could marry either one or the other. In other words,
no. The Gemara still ends up saying. The Gemara still ends up saying that there's a difference between the naira slash begeres and the almana. But when we say over here when the Gemara asks Hachanabi Ksiv Isha, that isn't there a pasuk that says Isha, then the Rambam would explain what the Gemara says is no, we don't use that word Isha to be marga another case of a woman who he's able to marry. Rather, it's teaching us mute, telling us that he's only allowed to marry one wife, not two.
Didn't we know that from somewhere else?
So in Yuma we learned that a Kohen Gadol cannot have two wives on Yom Kippur because basically Zu Ishtar you can only have only one,
right.
And we had a whole discussion over there about how we have to do according to the Yehuda, if he has a spare wife, how we make sure that he's only married to one at a time. Yes. The difference is that's only on Yom Kippur. According to the Rambam, that Issur applies the rest of the year as well. Now the Ravid strongly argues with the Rambam on that. The Ravid says, where on earth did the Rambam get it from? Because evidently the Rambam learns this achas v'lo shtayim the way Rashi did, that it has nothing to do with how many wives a kohen gadol is allowed to marry. Rather, he understands it. To me, you marry one case that the kohen gadol is allowed to marry, but not two. So the Ravid therefore says there's no issue on a kohen gadol to have two wives the rest of the year. Yes, if he has two wives, come Yom Kippur, he's going to have to divorce one of them.
He can't remarry
her after Yom Kippur, it's true. Also, actually, the Ravid brings an interesting thing in this connection. He says, in Divrei Hayomim, it tells about Yoyada Kohen Gadol. There's a Lashon HaPasuk over there. Vayisa lo Yoyada Nashim Shayim. Yoyada married two women. He was a Kohen Gadol. So what do you do with that? So Mepharshim on the Rambam point out there's a few possibilities. First of all, the pasuk over there does not necessarily mean that Yehoyada married these women. It could mean Yehoyada, who had Yehoyash the king as his protege, in Aftarah Parshas Shevalim, he was helping to raise Yehoyash. He married him off to two wives.
Wow.
Not that he himself married two wives. Or, I think one of the Mepharshim, I think the Mishnah Lamelach or somebody, says very simple. It doesn't mean he had two wives at the same time. It means he had even married one. And one passed away, or whatever, and they married the other. Yeah.
But the Rambam says
that's it. So Kohen Gadol can never have two wives, and he said he learns that from this Gemara. Achas v'lo shtayim. Mishnah says Kohen Gadol lo yisa almana. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Bein almana min erusin, bein almana min nisuin. Whether she's an almana after erusin or after nisuin, and it's not a question of whether she had relations or not, even if she's a psula. But the fact that she's an almana makes her puzzle. V'lo yisa es habegeres. He's also not allowed to marry a begeres. 6 months after puberty, or older. Rabbi Lozer,
so this Mishnah.
No, we just said that he's not allowed to marry a begeris. No, there we were talking about a case. What if he was metadish her when she was a naira?
Right.
Here we're talking that was the discussion we went back and forth. Here we're talking if he's now a kohen gadol and he's looking for a wife, he's not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry a begeris.
No. Well, he wasn't a kohen gadol.
Yeah, Rabbi Lozer and Reb Shimon Machshirin begeris. Rabbi Lozer and Reb Shimon say no, he is allowed to marry a begeris. And the Mishnah finishes also. Lo yisaes mukas eight. A kohen gadol is also not allowed to marry a woman who was injured by wood. Meaning that she lost her besulim, she lost her hymen, not from having relations, but just because she got injured or whatever, you know, something, you know, a foreign object got in there or something.
That's not considered
besulim. That's not considered besulim. That's what the Gemara is going to talk about now. So, Tana when the pasuk says almana liyikach, that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, it means ben almana min erusin, ben almana min anisoin. It means regardless of what she's an almana from. Question is pshita. Well, of course, they're in the pasuk says almana. Why would we think anything else? The answer is maudetema leilaf almana almana mitomer. You might have thought maybe we're learning zeta shava from the word almana from the story of Tomer. Tomer and Aaron, Onan and Yehuda in Parshas Vayeshev. Mala halan min anisuin. Over there, where was she an almana min anisuin? She'd been married first to Aaron and to Onan, and we discussed in an earlier perek that they did have relations with her, either shalai kedarka or dashim ufnim mizarim vachutz, whatever. But there was certainly nisuin done, and only then is she called an almana. Afkan min anisurin. So you would think maybe also over here, cutting gadol's only also and an amana min anisurin. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Then the question becomes, Eima hachinami, maybe takazoi, how do you know you don't make that gzereshava? Eima hachinami, maybe indeed so. You're saying the Mishnah is telling us don't do that gzereshava. Well, why ever not? Where does the Mishnah itself know that you shouldn't do it from?
The gzereshava
from Tamar. Yeah. The answer is dumya de grusha, because the pasuk puts together almana ugrusha and the other ones, the halal zayna. Which means they're similar. Ma grusha ben min anisurin ben min ha'erusin. Just like a grusha is aser whether it was after nisurin or after erusin. Afamana ben min ha'erusin ben min ha'erusin. Same thing in amana. And what? So how do we know a grusha? So Rashi says because a grusha you don't have any zeder shava. You don't. There's no place else in the Torah where it uses the word grusha that you could possibly say means davka nisua. Also, all the other mafarshim point out that the difference is. That Tosfos actually points out that the difference in not really Tosfos, other Mepharshim point out the difference is a Kohen Gadol was saying the Torah is makpid yet to marry a Bsula. A Kohen Hedyeth, there's no such Kedah. A Kohen Gadol can marry a woman who's had relations before as long as she's not a Grusha, Chalala, or a Zaina. So therefore, by a Kohen Hedyeth, there's no logic to say that there should be any difference between a Grusha, min any Surin, min Erisin. By the same logic, then, if with Torah is putting together the Grusha and the Almana, evidently by the Almana there's no difference either. Even though you would think maybe by the Almana the Torah is saying the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, and the Almana, after all, is an Issa which is special to him. So you would think maybe, okay, if she's an Almana in an Erisin, she's still a Besula, you would think it should be good. No, that's what we're saying, that the Torah is comparing her to a Grusha. Then the Mishnah said, just for the Kohen Gadol, yeah. Then the Mishnah said, "V'loyuseh a begeris," that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a begeris. Why is that? Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. When the pasuk says, "V'hu isha bivsuleha yikach," that he should take a wife in her bsulim, in her virginity, which you have an extra bays there. You could have just said, "V'hu isha bsula yikach," prat lebegeris shekolala bsulel. This comes to exclude a begeris where some of her bsulim are missing. What do we mean, not missing? It's not like she had relations yet necessarily. There's a couple of different possibilities what it means that she's not that what it means. One is if she's physically grown larger, so her rechem, the opening there is not quite as tight as it was when she was a naira. The other possibility is that a basula, when she loses her basulim, when she loses her hymen, bleeds less than a naira does. Either way, there's a certain degree to a certain degree her basulim are not quite in the same state as they were when she was a naira. Balaturim, by the way, on the pasuk mentions an interesting thing. He says the word bibsuleha, he says, has an extra bays and an extra yud, because the pasuk could have said bsula and it said bibsuleha. The extra bays and yud equal 12, yud and bays. That comes to hint at the idea that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a girl who's 12, who's 12 but not yet 12 and a half a naira, a naira but not a begeris. Divir a bayer. That's what Rameyah says. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon makshirin bebegeris. Whereas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, like in our Mishnah, say he is allowed to marry a begeris. But my comfortably, what's the point of the machlokes? Rameyah holds like this. The word besula would mean afilu mixas besula mashma. The word besula by itself, if it said v'hu isha besula yikach, it would mean even if she has some of her besulim still intact, as long as in some way she can still be considered a besula, it would be fine. Besulaha. Bisuleha, when you have the extra yud, bisuleha, means adik kolab bisulim. It comes to include you have to have the entire bisulim, which, like we said, in other words, you have to be a naira, not a begeris, where begeris already the bisulim are not quite in the same state as they were before. And when it says bibsuleha, the extra base of bibsuleha comes to teach us another din. Bikadauka ein, shalom kadauka loy. If she had had relations kadauka, then she becomes also to the Kohen Gadol, because she's not a basula. But if she had relations shaloi kadauka previously, then she is allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Even though you could argue, I mean, in a certain way, she's not a basula. She's not a basula because she had relations, but it was shaloi kadauka. It didn't affect her makum basulim, and therefore she'd be mutter. That's Rav Meir. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, that was Rav Meir. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say the other way around. Besula, besula shleima mashma. No, the word besula all by itself means a besula shleima, means that she has complete besulim. When it says besuleha, comes to add vafilu mixas besulim, that even if she only has some of the besulim, so begeris is fine, yeah. And bibsuleha, on the other hand, the word, the base of bibsuleha, comes to tell us, adshiu kol besuleha kayam, and it means that every kind of besulim has to still be intact. Ben kibir kadaka, ben shalai kadaka. So in other words, yeah, they take exactly the opposite position of Rav Meir. Rav Meir is saying that a Bergeris is also, but Shaloi Kedavka is Mutter. They're saying the other way around. A Bergeris is Mutter, but a Shaloi Kedavka would be also.
Why should a Bedaka be Asar? Yeah.
Because they're saying that's not, it's not Kol B'Sula or Kayomen. In a certain sense, she's not a B'Sula anymore. Obviously, there's no B'Sulim. There's no B'Sulim in Shaloi Kedavka, but nevertheless, you can't consider her B'Sula. You can't consider her a virgin after having had relations with Shaloi Kedavka.
Yeah.
So there's two different meanings of mikzas versus kol b'soleha. One meaning of the term is that within the besulim, within the makam besulim itself, within the actual hymen itself, that the whole thing and all the bleeding and all the tightness and whatever involved with it should still be intact, unlike a begeres, which is not. The other is that it means there's two ways in which a woman can become, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rav Shimon, no longer besula, kedavka and shaloi kedavka. It has to have been that neither of those took place. So they're saying it's okay to have mikzas besulim in makum besulim, as long as she still has the besulim, as long as she still has a hymen, it's okay if it's not quite as stretched tight or whatever it is, as it is when she's a naira. But it has to be that in the two possible places where it's possible to have, that are considered relations in halacha, kedavka and shaloi kedavka, that neither of them has been done. Her figurative besulim, so to speak, have not been destroyed in either place yet.
But where do they infer that? I mean, the Torah never mentions it. Tzula, I mean, the means Shilot Kedarka.
We will actually, we're going to talk about it a little on Daf Sama. For one thing, we have by risk of Tzula v'ishlo yadah. Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there that Tzula means Mimokim Tzulim, and Lo'ishlo yadah means even Shilot Mimokim Tzulim.
But it could be both. And
that's what I'm saying. When it says there Tzula v'ishlo yadah, it means that nobody had relations with her, either Kedarka or Shilot Kedarka. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Nivala Shaloi Kedavka, if a woman has had relations Shaloi Kedavka, Psula Lekohuna, then she's Pasul, not Lekohuna, not for the Kohen Hediyot, obviously, unless it was a Bia that made her a Zoner or a Halala, but no, she's Pasul for the Kohen Hediyot, we mean, for the Kohen Gadol. Masiv Rava, which means that Rav actually holds he kind of takes the chumrus of both of these opinions. He's evidently agreeing with Rav Meir that a begeris is possible, and that's in fact the halacha. He's also saying that shaloi kedavka is possible by Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. Yeah. Which fine, Rav is a tana, he's entitled to argue with him. Masiv Rava, so Rava asks, I have a stira. But Brisa says as follows. Now the Torah describes the two cases where a person seduced a girl. Or where he raped her. And in either of those cases, the Torah says, actually we're talking over here about the case of rape, the case of onus in Parshas Kisese. The Torah says that he's fined, he has to pay the girl's father, because she's still a naira, we're talking about, so she's still under her father's roof. So he has to pay her a fine. And number two, he has to marry her, she has to marry her, and he's never allowed to divorce her. Now, the Braisa says, when the Pasuk says, V'loi tia le'isha, to him she should be a wife, that implies, V'isha ha'ra'uy lo'i, that implies only if she is suitable for him, meaning only if la'alocha, she's a woman, he's allowed to marry. Prat la'amon la'kohen gadol grusha v'chalitza la'kohen hadyet. As opposed to, for example, let's say this girl was an almana, and the kohen gadol raped her, he wouldn't be able to marry her, because he's also to marry an almana. So therefore, that part of the mitzvah is not fulfilled. Similarly, a grusha v'chalitza la'kohen hadyet. Now, we have to consider, what kind of case are we talking about over here where we're saying that this Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her because she's an almana? And remember, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol himself had been ma'anis her. So what are we dealing with over here? Ilema the Kedavka, if he was ma'anis her, if he raped her Kedavka, then ma'iri mishum almana. Why even bother mentioning the question whether she's an almana? She's possible even if she was never married. Typically, Mishum Dehabila Ba'ula. At that point, she's a Ba'ula. She's had relations, and she's not a Basula anymore. Kohen Gadol has to marry a Basula.
And that deal was not Hashem's tradition.
Right, obviously. Yeah, it was Hashem's nuts. Ela lab Shaloi Kedavka. Obviously, it must mean that he had relations with Shaloi Kedavka. Umishum Amona Ein Mishum Ba'ula Lai. And what are we saying? That the Braisa is saying she's only usher to him at that point if she's an Amona. If she had not been an Amona, even though she's Ba'ula Shaloi Kedavka, the Kohen Gadol still, we say, he still has to marry her. Yeah. So then, how is Rav saying, Nivala Shaloi Kedavka Psula? if we're saying that she's only also if she's an almana. The answer is not a problem. Halmani Rav Meir, he's fine. That braisa could be according to Rav Meir. But Rav, Dama Rav Elazar, Rav would hold in this for this purpose, like Rav Elazar, that a begeris is fine, but Shaloi Kedarta but Shaloi Kedarta is out.
Could never say it's in the name of Rav.
What am I saying? No, we're saying that Rav could be agreeing with Rav Rav could be agreeing with Rav Elazar on that. Which, okay,
could be agreeing with
Rebbe Lazar on the idea that Rebbe Lazar had said that Kedarka or Shalai Kedarka, she's possible Kohuna. That's what we'd be saying over here. Even though this Kohen Gadol had relations with her Shalai Kedarka,
right.
she already becomes Osir at that point because she's a Bolo. So what? We said that Rabbi Loza said that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman who is Ba'ula Shalai Kedarka. Mm-hmm. So when Rav is saying Nivala Shalai Kedarka, Psula Lekohana, he's agreeing with Rabbi Loza. Our Braisa that we just brought agrees with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir would say the fact that it's Shalai Kedarka does not possible her. So how would she become possible? Only if she was previously an Amana. Now, Tosfos points out doesn't mean that Rav would agree completely with Rebbe Lazar. It just means as far as this part for the detail, he would agree with him. Huh? Question is, Yitzchak Rebbe Lazar, Ma'ayu Mishum Basula. If he holds like Rebbe Lazar, then why does the Braisa have to mention the fact that she's possible because of Ba'ula? You have a dip. No, you're saying good point, but what we your
question.
What's the problem with the question? We seem to be saying, according to Rebbe Lazar, that in fact we seem to be saying that So the question rather is like this: If Rav holds like Rebbe Lazar, then who cares about the fact that she's possible because she's a Ba'ula, typically to have Yelazoyna. You have a different reason why she's also to him. Because, according to Rebbe Lazar, at this point she's a Zoyna. Rebbe Lazar says later on in the Perek that we talked the other day, and we're going to talk later on in a couple of days about what the definition in Halacha of a Zoyna is, that's also to a Kayin. You have a few different opinions. Rebbe Lazar there says that even if it was an unmarried man and an unmarried woman, and they just had relations outside of marriage, that already would make her a Zoyna. As opposed to the Chachamim, they would say, no, it has to be some kind of Issur Karis, Mrs. Bastin, Lav, whatever it is.
Where are we holding?
Samach Nun Tesam Abayz, near the top.
Samach Amad Aleph?
No, Nun Tesam Abayz. So then in that case, as soon as she's had relations outside of marriage, she already becomes a Zoyna anyway. She's anyway also on those grounds. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef answers, you could have a case for mention Nivala la Behema. You could have a case where this woman had relations with an animal. She would be considered a Ba'ula. She is a woman who's had relations. However, she's not considered a Zoyna, even according to Rav Elazar, Even Rebbe Lazar, who says Panuya Bala Panuya, but he still agrees that it has to be some kind of human, that it has to be some kind of human relations. Here it was not, we're gonna learn later on the Amud why that is. We're gonna see later on the Amud proof for that. So the point is that there you have a perfect case where a woman is no longer a Bsula, and even according to Rebbe Lazar, she's not a Zoyna. So therefore, Rebbe Lazar can say that Kedarka or Shalai Kedarka, she's possible. But you can have a case where it was neither Kedarka nor Shalai Kedarka, namely a behema.
What does Kedarka mean?
Kedarka means normal relations. Shalai Kedarka means unnatural. We could spell it out, but we're trying to keep things a little bit PG-13 here.
I get it.
Yeah. All right. Amalei Abaya, Abaya says, what are you talking about? Mamonashach. What's the logic to distinguish between Ba'ula and Zoyna? E Ba'ula Havi, Zoyna Nami Havi. If you're going to say that this woman who's had relations with an animal is considered a Ba'ula on that basis, then she should also be considered a Zoyna. A Bia is a Bia. Be Zoyna Lai Havi, Ba'ula Nami Lai Havi. And if you're going to say she's not considered a Zoyna, she wouldn't be considered a Ba'ula either. They go hand in hand, yeah. V'chi tema midi dehavi amukas eitz shaloi kadarka. Or you're going to answer, okay, you know what we're talking about. Maybe where she had relations with the animal shaloi kadarka, and you would argue that look, let's say for example, you know, at the end of the Mishnah we had, we said that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a mukas eitz. Incidentally, by the way, Mephoshim. One second.
What is a mukas eitz?
Mukas eitz means a woman who's been injured by a piece of wood. So she lost her besulim. She lost her hymen, her virginity, instead of having relations by being knocked out by a piece of wood or something else. And the Mishnah had said, "V'loyisa es mukaseis." Now Rashi over here is assuming that part of the Mishnah is still continuing only according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. That Rashi is taking it that the Tanakhama would not agree with that point.
That's what
about the mukaseis.
Oh, we don't hold on.
Kadavka or Shalai Kadavka was saying the Tanakhama would not agree with that idea. Only Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying it. So okay, let's consider. Okay, so you might argue like this. Let's say that this woman had relations with an animal, shaloi kadarka, unnaturally, and you would argue, fine, you want to argue she's not considered a ba'ula or a zayna, because after all, it wasn't a human being. But after all, I mean, at least it's no less than mukas eitz. It's no less than if it was a piece of wood, she's still, and shaloi kadarka, unnaturally. The problem with that is, that can't possibly make her possible, having a foreign object enter shaloi kadarka, because imkain emloch ishak shaksheir lakahuna shalainatis mukas eitz alidei tzerer. Then you're going to have, inevitably, every woman is going to be possible for a kohen gadol, because she's going to have used a stone for wiping when she goes to the bathroom. We learned way back in Shabbos, and we touched on it a couple of times since then, in Beitza, I think, and some other places. In those days, of course, they didn't have toilet paper or anything. One of the common things that people would use to wipe after they went to the bathroom were stones, little stones. Well, if we're arguing over here that anything that goes into into the rectum, it's considered it makes her no longer a basula shaloi kadarka, it now makes her a mukas eitz. Well, then inevitably, as long as she's growing up, any woman is going to be possible. Obviously, you have to say that. The whole concept of mukas eitz only applies kadarka, only applies to natural. So
that's different than penetration of the hymen.
Yeah, exactly. There has to be a difference between penetration naturally and unnaturally in the rectum. Yeah. So therefore, you can't. So far we still have the question, what do we mean that Rav holds like Rav Elazar? When Rav says that Shaloi Kadarka is possible l'kohuna, how exactly do you have a case where according to Rav Elazar, it would only be a problem because she's not a basula, and not a problem that she's a zayna? Because again, according to Rav Elazar, almost everything makes her a zayna. Ela amar Rav Zera b'mema'enes. Sonora says, rather I have a different possible case. Suppose, is it
so this, now we're trying to answer another case.
The conclusion so far was that we don't seem to find a case. We don't seem to find a case where she's lost her besulim, kedarka that is, and yet according to Rabbi Lazar, she wouldn't be considered a zayna.
This doesn't stand.
Yeah. Ella Amr of Shimi Bachia. No, sorry. Ella Amr of Zera b'Ma'anes. So no, rather Rabbi Zera says, suppose we're talking about a girl who did miyun. But to recap, we learned earlier in the Masechta, midaraisa, a father has the right to be mekadesh his young daughter when she's a naira or younger, 12 and a half or younger. If those kedushin are fully effective in Atara. If the father died though before she reached that age, then her mother or her brothers or whoever's her guardian is allowed to be mekabel kedushin on her behalf. But that since those kedushin and that marriage only is in effect with Rabbanan, therefore she has the option anytime she wants of saying, I want out of it, of making a protest. We'll learn about it later on in the Masechta and then in the Kufs, all the different dinim involved in that. And that's it, the marriage is dissolved and she doesn't need a get or anything. Now, so you can have a woman who had relations with her husband, but she's not considered a zayna, she's not considered an almana, she's not considered a grusha, namely this case over here. So what would we say? So even Rabbi Elazar would not say she's a zoyna because she had been legally married to her husband all this time. The miyun uproots the marriage, but it doesn't make it that all along it's been bias nut. However, Rav would nevertheless be saying she is still considered, she is a ba'ul after all, she has had relations. Therefore, she's possible to the kohen gadol on those grounds.
Not because she's a
zayna. In other words, Rav can be agreeing with Rav Elazar. Rav can be agreeing with Rav Elazar. However, even Rav Elazar would, the difference is Rav Elazar would say she's not a zayna, there's no problem with her at all at this point, whereas Rav would be saying, no, she is after all a ba'ula. She has had relations.
You would still not consider her as a zona.
No, that's yeah.
She's a
bit. Yeah. Related to what we said before, Amr of Shimi Bachia, Niva la behema ksheir la kohona. If a woman had relations with an animal, she's still allowed to marry a kohen. She's not considered. She's not considered a zona, and even in the case of a kohen gadol, she's not considered. At most, as the Gemara just said, a few lines ago, we would consider her mukas eitz. At most, we would consider that it's the equivalent of being injured with a piece of wood.
Is it a lot? Is it a current?
It's Karis. It's Issa Mrs. Bastin. To have relations with an animal is an Issa Mrs. Bastin. It makes a chayef skila.
And you would still consider a mutar al-Kohen?
And we'll talk about soon why. Why she's not considered a zayna on that basis, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But so for a Kohen Hadiyat, she's for sure mutar. She's not any of the three categories. She's not a Grusha, Chalala, or zayna. Because to be a zayna, as we're gonna explain soon, it has to have been relations with a human being. As far as the Kohen Gadol also. Again, according to the opinion in the Mishnah that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Mukas Eis, fine, he's not allowed to marry her, because you can't consider this any less than a Mukas Eis. But if you say a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry a Mukas Eis, he's not allowed to marry a woman who lost her Bsulim to a man, or according to the Tanakhama, he's not allowed to marry a Begeres, who her Bsulim are not quite in the same shape as when she was a Naira, fine. But in this case, she lost her Bsulim to a foreign object, so it's not a problem, according to them.
What do you mean her basul is not in the right shape?
We talked before on Amud Aleph that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah had pointed out that there's a certain difference in the basulim of a naira, of a girl shortly after puberty, versus a begeres 6 months or later after puberty. There's a difference in it. Either it's not as tight, or it doesn't bleed as heavily, or whatever it is, whatever the exact physiological difference is. But there is a certain difference that's called, therefore, color basulera. It's called that her basulim are not, like, completely intact to the extent that they were when she became a naira. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, she's not allowed to marry the Kohen Gadol. But in this case, it's only mukas eitz. It's only that it was damaged by the equivalent of a piece of wood, and therefore it's not a problem. Now it's kind of interesting actually. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, not in Kiddushin, in Ksubas, that touches a little bit on this matter also, and it mentions over there a concept in halacha called ein mukas eir, according to Shmuel. Anyway, it's actually machlokes Rav and Shmuel over there that called ein mukas eis bebasa, that you cannot define when there was contact with flesh. You can't consider that mukas eis. Mukas eis means that it was an inanimate object. The difference is that eis is an inanimate object, And basar is an animate object. So the Gemara mentions over there that you can't consider her a mukas eitz if it was basar, if it was flesh that penetrated rather than an inanimate object. Apparently, the reason why the Gemara doesn't bring that over here is because Rashi explains over there when we say in mukas eitz bebasar means bibsar adam, means that you cannot consider her mukas eitz based on a human being having had relations with her, even if it was the kind where for other purposes in halacha it wouldn't be considered relations, as the Gemara talks about over there. But here we're talking about a behema. Evidently, that rule doesn't apply. Yes, you would consider a behema to be the equivalent of eitz. Anyway, Ki Asir of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he reported a story in this connection. Maisa b'riva achas behitlu. It happened with a certain young girl at Hitlu, is the name of a place. Shahoyt mechabedas sabayis. She was sweeping in the house. She was bending down and sweeping the house. V'rova kelev kufri me'achareha. And a kufri dog, Rashi says it's a large hunting dog, sodomized her from behind. Jumped on top of her and, yeah. Shalakadaka, yeah. V'hechshira Rebbe l'kohona. And Rebbe said that she's kosher, she's kosher l'kohona. Amar Shmuel. And Shmuel adds on that, l'kohen gadol. That means he said that she's even kosher to marry a kohen gadol. Because as we said, at worst it would be considered mukaseit. Question is, what do you mean? And we said before, mukaseit, shaloi kedarka doesn't apply because otherwise every woman would be possible. question is, we made Rebbe Kohen Gadol Mihava. In Rebbe's time, there wasn't Kohen Gadol. Rebbe lived 100-odd years after the Korban. Ella, what he means is Re'uya L'Kohen Gadol. What he means is like this. Exactly. He's paskening, she came to ask, am I allowed to marry a Kohen? He's telling her, yes, you're allowed to marry a Kohen, you're not considered a Zoyna on that basis. By the way, you should know, this is considered of so little meaning in halacha, of so little importance in halacha, that even for a Kohen Gadol, even if there were Kohenim Gadolim nowadays, you would be kosher for him. Yeah. Amalei Rava Mipaukin L'Ravashi, so Rava Mipaukin L'Ravashi, it says on the side, ask Ravashi, Menoha Milsa, the Amar Rabbanon, Ein Znus L'Behema. Where B'chlal do we get this concept that if a woman has had relations, or a man has relations with an animal, that's not considered Znus? The answer is like this, Dichtiv, Pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze, Lo Sobi Esnan Zoyna Umchir Kelev. You're not allowed to bring for Karbonis Esnan Zoyna, the hire of a Zoyna, meaning the Gemara has the Mishnah and the Gemara in Tmura, which we'll learn several years from now, Be'ez Hashem, has a long discussion of the details, but the gist of it, Esnan Zoyna is a person goes over to a Zoyna, and he tells her, for example, here, I want to have relations with you. In return, here's a sheep. That sheep is possible to be brought as a Karbon. Umachir Kelev, and the exchange of a dog. Yeah, well, sort of, no, there he didn't actually pay her for it. That was she said, what are you going to give me? And then she says, he says, I'll send you a kid goat, and meanwhile, what are you going to give me as a pledge? Yes, he's sending her a goat afterwards. Yeah, that Amman points out at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that before Matan Torah, that kind of thing was perfectly legal. It's only after the Torah was given that it became also. Yeah. Anyway. So they're not to bring Esnan Zoyna, Umachir Kelev, and the exchange of a dog. Meaning, you have a dog, I have a sheep, let's trade him. That sheep, once we traded that sheep for that dog, that sheep becomes also to use as a carbon.
Well, why are we trading a dog and a sheep and make both of them up? Yes, sir.
Well, the dog's already up there anyway, but why, I don't know. I'd have to look and say for Achinuch for the reason behind the mitzvah, but whatever it is.
But
you know,
why is a dog, yes, sir?
A dog is a trade for animal. What are you going to do with it? You can't bring it as a carbon, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's...
Okay, so if you trade the kosher animal for a dog, then the kosher animal becomes this, right?
That becomes also to eat. You're allowed to shech the animal. You're allowed to bring for a carbon, right. What's the reason for it? I don't know. I can see if I can find it real quick in Sefer HaChinuch, see what he says about it. He says the idea is korbanos are meant to purify a person's thoughts. So if it comes from Esnan Zoyna or Mechir Kelev, then you're not going to be having the right thought about it. Actually, I mean, a dog, he says, you know, is a very aze nefesh. So you know, they're very bold chutzpahdika type creatures that, you know, he's going to be thinking while he's bringing this carbon about the dog that he exchanged it for, and then he's going to also feel a certain sense of stubbornness, like why should I bother doing shuva for the avera that I'm bringing this carbon for. Well, the Zoyna, he says, a different idea. I mean, it's not right to bring a korban from something that came, you know, from something that was used for disgusting avera like that.
Korban is that where
she's bringing it. It would be she's, it's her animal, but yeah. Anyway, whatever it is, utnan, and we learn in the Mishnah there in Tmura, esnan kelev umuchir zoyna mutarin. However, the pasuk is specifying esnan zoyna, the hire of a zoyna, umuchir kelev, in the exchange of a dog. But if it was the other way around, esnan kelev, the hire of a dog, meaning, suppose a person goes over to a Zoyna and he says, I'm going to give you a sheep, and in return, I want you to be having relations with my dog. That's not Osir. Or Mechir Zoyna, Mutarin, or the price of a Zoyna. Person has a Shifcha, let's say, who's a Zoyna, and he sells her to somebody else in return for a sheep. That would be Mutar. Mishum Shanema Gam Shneim, because the Pasuk finishes off of there, like Savi Yasan Zaino Mechir Kelev, it says, you're not allowed to do Gam Shneim, both of them, which means Shneim Veloy Abba. Dafka two things are also, the two that it specifies in the Pasuk. Veloy Abba, you can't switch around the definitions. So what do we see from that? That, well, you would think you would have Abba, you would think you'd have Mechir Kelev, you'd think you'd have Esnan Zoyna and Esnan Kelev, where you have with Esnan for you having relations with the Zoyna versus Esnan for your dog to have relations with the Zoyna, and Mechir Kelev versus Mechir Zoyna, exchange for a dog or exchange for a Zoyna. No, the fact that it says Gam Shneim, she says only the two that it says in the Pasuk are also. Well then, we see from that. Now, what's the point? If we said that having relations with an animal is considered znus lahalacha, well, when you're telling this zoyna, you have relations with my dog, and in return, here is a sheep. That would be considered znus. That would be esnan zoyna. The fact that we're saying not shows that it's not considered znus. Yeah, it should be chayiv skila for it, and the animal would also be chayiv skila. But the animal that you exchanged for it didn't become also for a carbon. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a brisa, anusas asmer and mafutas asmer leisa. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a woman who he himself had raped, or he himself had seduced. He himself had relations with her outside of marriage, l'shem znus. He himself afterwards is not allowed to marry her because she's not a psula. But if he married her, then b'di'evad he's allowed to stay married to her. On the other hand, anusas chaveda mufutas chaveda la'yisa. On the other hand, he's not allowed to marry a woman who was raped or seduced by somebody else. And if he did so, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov emar v'lad cholol. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says he's completely also to marry her, and therefore the child would be a cholol. But Chum emar v'lad kosher, the Chum says he's not allowed to marry her. But the Eved, if he did, the child is a kosher or kain.
So if he married her anyways, the child is still kosher?
That's what we're saying, according to the Chachamim. That's what we're saying, according to the Chachamim. That if it was his own anusar mufuta, everybody agrees the child was kosher. But if it was his own anusar mufuta, a woman who he himself raped or seduced, and now as Kohen Gadol, he wants to marry her, we're saying he shouldn't. But for the Eved, if he does, we're saying that they don't have to, we don't force him to divorce her. Or not necessarily we don't force him to divorce her, it's considered a valid marriage. Whether he has to divorce her is another question.
And the option would not be considered chol?
And the child is not considered a chol, right. Well, but that's the question, basically. That's the point. She was a basula, sure, but then he himself had relations with her. The point is, she's not a basula because of him himself, but nevertheless, yeah. Now, the Braisa had said him nothing, Nosui, that if he met, we'll try to go through the two dots, five, six lines from the top of Samach and Aleph, and then that'll be a decent stopping point. It's another minute. Im nothing, Nosui, we said that in the first case, if it was his own Anusa or his own Mufuta, we said the Kohen Gadol, if he married her, but he's married. However, we do force him to give her a get. We do force him to divorce her. Anusa means a woman he raped, Mufuta means a woman he seduced. Where it was consensual, in other words. So Rav says, yes, he's married, but he still has to divorce her. What do you mean? What do you mean? So what does the Braisa mean? Saying if he married her, he's considered he's married. It sounds like it means, okay, but yeah, but they can stay married. Now, Rav Yaakov, it means, it means that if it was a case of a mafuta, of a seduction. Now, the Torah says in the case of seduction, like this, he has to do one or the other. Either he has to pay the fine, or he has to marry her. As opposed to an onus, we have to do both. He has to pay the fine, and he has to marry her. In this case, if it was a mafuta, the fact that he married her, even though he wasn't allowed to, because she's not a basula anymore, nevertheless, that exempts him from having to pay the knaf at that point. He has at least fulfilled the mitzvah of mahar yumharen aloy l'isha, even though he's going to be forced to divorce afterwards. That's what we're saying. If he married her Nasa, he's considered a valid marriage to the extent that therefore he's now fulfilled that part of the mitzvah by Mefata that he has to now that he has to either pay the knas or marry her. Well, okay, he married her, so he's parted from the knas. Now he has to give her a get.
He has to marry her and then give her a divorce?
No, he doesn't have to. In the case of a mafuta, it's one or the other. Either, forget about a kohen gadol, anybody who's mafuta, who seduces a woman, where they have relations consensually, but outside of marriage, he has a choice. Either if they both agree to get married, they can get married, or if one or the other of them doesn't want to get married, then he has to pay her father a fine. As opposed to an anusa, in the Torah tells that if a person rapes a woman, then it's both. He has to pay the fine, and he has to marry her. She has the option. If she doesn't want to marry him, she doesn't have to. But he doesn't have the choice. As we said on Nun Testament Aleph, as long as the halacha is allowed to marry her, then he has to. And he's never allowed to divorce her. But here we're talking about a mefuta, where the rules are different. Okay, I guess we'll leave the rest for tomorrow.